How's it going? I'm Mel and you're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. I've got Will here to chat all things Giants as we do our Greater Western Sydney preview episode. Will, how's it going?
It's going very well, thanks Mel, and I am super excited to be talking about the Greater Western Sydney Giants today. Last year didn't go overly fantastic for the Giants, unfortunately. Finished 16th on the ladder, one win and a draw. And 9 losses, percentage of 70.4. So overall, a little bit disappointing for the Giants, and they'll be hoping to improve this season. Had some interesting player movement in the offseason, which will hopefully help them as well. They've got some good trade-in players. Eleanor Brown, key defender from Bulldogs, and Taylor Levy, a mid-forward from the Adelaide Crows. Good place to be getting players from Adelaide. They've also got some impressive young draftees, Sarah Howley and Grace Martin. Grace Koss comes over from Ireland, so that's quite an interesting one. And they've also brought in key defender Viv Saad, who was formerly on Gold Coast lists as an injury replacement player, which is quite important because they have lost key defender Pepper Randall to retirement. The main out for them in the offseason was inaugural number one pick Nicky Barr, who was traded to St Kilda. So that leaves a bit of space in that midfield, which will make for some interesting options fantasy-wise.
Yeah, it definitely was a big off-season for GWS. Lots of movements, lots going on, and lots to look forward to this coming season. Jono had a really great chat earlier with Kat Smitty-Smith, so let's jump over to that, have a listen.
I'd like to welcome Kat Smitty-Smith onto the Free Kick podcast. You're vice captain of the GWS Giants. We're so excited to have you on with us today. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me. Pretty pumped.
Yeah. You've just returned to official preseason for 2025. How's it been?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think we had a pretty big pre-season, which was really exciting. And I think like day one, we had a time trial of over like 50% of us ran PBs and like significant PBs. So it was really good that the girls and personally were all in like good nick physically. But that also helps contribute to just training be a bit more exciting and more footy in training. So it's been really cool to kind of like athletically we're there, we're getting better and improving, but also the footy side of things being like super fun. Because of that, we've been allowed to do some more like match sim or more footy earlier, which is always, as a player, you love to do.
Yeah, no, amazing. Love to hear the fitness there. I can imagine this year's preseason has been very different because last year there was that involvement with the VFLW, but now with the seasons changing a little bit, you know, there's not those match scenarios happening, but it sounds like you're doing more match sims yourself.
Yeah, so we actually had a change in S&C coach as well over the off-season, which has been great to kind of have a little bit of a change of perspective, revitalise. But we were pretty fortunate. We did like a few internal games and had a bit of fun with it. So we essentially played like some AFL 9s, had 3 teams, had like a few awards with it. But that was kind of like a really good taste of footy for all the preseason, because obviously we do a long off-season where there is lots of running, lots of gym sessions. But internally, we kind of all committed to having these AFL 9 like games to bring that footy that we love, that energy and that like build connection. So yeah, once preseason hit, I think everyone was super ready to get just like right into it.
Yeah, no, I love that. It is a long off season, so
it is.
Yeah, this is actually the 10th season for the Giants and for yourself. How has that felt coming into this year?
It was pretty surreal. I think there's only 4 of us that are now in 10 seasons. Yeah, I was pretty fortunate to be a part of the inaugural draft as a 17, 20, 18 year old, got drafted to the D's, which was like full dream come true. And just to see the competition grow from games, from the number of teams, from salaries, from the number of staff involved, people at fans, the grow over 10 years is kind of surreal. And I think we're always pushing, and personally part of like the PA delegate, you're always pushing for more, you're pushing for more. But I think having the 10-year anniversary really makes you like stop and think, being like, oh, wow, we've progressed really, really quickly as a sport, and compared to other sports done that really well. We have some of the best athletes in the country all playing AFL. Like I think the stat is something like the AFL, we have the most female athletes hired as AFLW, which is incredible in itself. So, yeah, it's a really surreal feeling. I kind of feel like a kid again, which is nice. Just really love my footy and love the club here. So, yeah, coming to it, I do feel old physically, but just the same love and the passion for the game, especially like I want to win and be successful with this group and this club. So I think that's always a really nice driving force as well.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think that been there for such a long time, but you're still, and I think you're the second most games played at the Giants or something like that, but it's still, very much the middle of your career. You've got so much ahead of you still. It must be a strange place to be.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like even physically, worked really hard in the off season, like hitting PBs, which you don't feel like you would at my age. But I think it's really nice to know that there is, yeah, the growth, and I'm excited by the growth personally in my own game and my own athletic performance to hopefully help contribute to us winning more games as well.
Well, I guess we're looking back at last season. It was probably one that didn't quite go to plan for the Giants. But if we're talking about the 10th year for the Giants, this is now the 4th year of Cam Bernasconi's, new game plan. I suppose what are the takeaways that you've had from last year that you're going to try and bring into this year?
Yeah, definitely. I think last year there was four or five really winnable games for us that were lost in little moments of lack of concentration or probably a bit of immaturity. We are one of the youngest teams in the competition, which does have its challenges, but I think it's really exciting that we've had consistency with Burner's game plan. We love the game plan. We want to play it. It's an exciting brand to play it because it's exciting brand to watch. I think obviously you can't change a game plan and it happen overnight. So having that kind of consistency over the last few years has been really good. But as we mature as, I guess, an older group or getting a few older heads, we can actually refine a lot of the details in the game plan as well. So ability to execute under pressure, a big one. Physically, the girls are getting bigger and stronger as they get older. Like there's all these elements that come with that as well naturally. So I think it's pretty exciting because obviously last year was not ideal, but there was a lot of potential winnable games for us this year, which is like the expectation is now bigger for us to win. And that's something that we're really priding ourselves on is higher expectations as this season comes aboard.
Yeah, I think it's one of those game plans that you can see when it works. It really works. Like that round one win last year was just such an overwhelming win. It's just trying to figure out how to pull it off. And I guess the young team. It's something that I suppose with trying to build that young team to have the same thing last year. There was a lot of talk about the mantra of being competitive. Is there something similar this year that you're trying to focus on?
Yeah, definitely. Competitive, obviously. We need to be competitive, but yeah, I think it's more the refinement of details. The game is moving to more of a transition running game as well, so that's also been a big focus. I think, like you hear about the Orange Tsunami or the boys, you hear about the Orange Tsunami. That's kind of similar in the way that we both teams want to play, and that's pretty evident. Like you said, when we do it well, it is a tsunami. It is the Orange Tsunami, and the exciting thing about that, it's not one player that we're relying on. It's all 21 on the field. Every other 30 on the list, the coaches, it's all really buying into that system because it is a there's high expectations on what you have to do, a part of that holistic to be able to create this tsunami both ways. You have to all buy into what you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. With this young squad, it's obviously trying to develop it. You've taken on a new role in the last season as vice captain of the Giants. How have you felt in that role?
Yeah, it's cool. I was really honored. Obviously, yeah, Beck Beeson is captain. She's also one of my closest friends. So to be able to lead the group that you love and adore with one of your best friends is really cool and probably surreal. And yeah, it's a really nice moment to have. But I think it's really nice that the young group, they're willing to learn, they're willing to get better. It's so exciting. And I think like the footballers we have, like Caitlin, we got Goldie, the two kids that we got drafted, like I get excited by the ways that they're going to play and the things that like the AFLW competition is going to see from the Giants this year. And it's also super exciting that, yeah, like even someone like Cambridge McCormack, who's been a part of our list for like, I think 3 seasons, is technically one of the older girls, is 26 like me. But yeah, she can light up the game plan as well. So I think it's a really cool position we're in where there's all these lots of talent within our system that will have moments of really, really cool, kind of exciting, exhilarating moments that will lift us, but also lift kind of like how we are perceived.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just tough building that brand. It must be so helpful having someone like Beck Beeson, captain of the club, and then I suppose around her, that midfield is just such a powerhouse at the moment. Beeson, obviously, but Goldsworthy, Parker, and O'Dowd, all top of the best and fairest and just a really powerful force. I suppose last year you ran such a tight rotation in the middle, but now you've got these young players coming through, like, you know, some of the draftees you've mentioned. Is there anyone else that you're expecting to get more time running through the middle of the ground this year?
I think anyone can run through the middle of the ground this year. I think footy's changing. I think the quicker hits, the better. Get in there, impact and get out. But obviously, Zara, our number one, like our first draft pick this year, she's a jet. Like honestly, she just like lights up the field. She runs both ways, like with full electricity. She just gets the pill everywhere and does great things with it. Like she's just a good, talented footballer, but she's really humble as well. And you can see that she wants to work really hard for her teammates, which is, I think, a super exciting trait from an 18-year-old kid. So, yeah, I'm pretty pumped to see her and how she can contribute to helping us succeed.
You've also had a few trade-ins, you know, from different clubs around the league. I mean, you've got Taylor Livo from Adelaide and Eleanor Brown from the Dogs. I suppose Vivian Saad wasn't a trade-in necessarily, but coming from the Gold Coast. How have they settled into the club?
Yeah, they've all settled in like perfectly. I think us having a long off season does really help in terms of like girls can travel, they can settle in a different state, they can find their people within the club and within the state to make it easier to make this home. So when preseason does hit, it's not so overwhelming. Tay's obviously like electric by foot, like her foot skills are incredible. So it's gonna be good to have her around goal. Eleanor's just competitive beast. Like she is one of the most competitive people ever, so having her down back will be really fun. And then Viv is just like a bigger body, which will have a great impact because we are quite, I mean, I'm a 166 centimeters and I'm counted as a tall defender for us, so it will be nice to have a bit of height, a bit of maturity as well that Viv obviously brings. She's got great experience from not only her basketball but her experiences as an author Gold Coast as well.
Yeah, and there's also that big hole to fill with Pepper Randall retiring at the end of last season. That's a big loss, but it's good to know you'll have some support down there for some of the
Yeah,
bigger
exactly.
players. Another player, which I suppose it's not necessarily one that's a new player to the club, but it's a face that I'm really hoping we get to see this year. Is Chloe Dalton back to full fitness yet? Is she going to be playing this season? Do you
I
know?
think super like Chloe's obviously was unfortunate with her back injury and newborn. So I think it's something that's super exciting that like having a kid around the club is awesome as well. But yeah, getting her back is really important for everyone. So I think it's something that like the club just is working towards.
Yeah, that's no, fair enough. I just remember watching, I think it was a preseason game in 2023 against the Bulldogs, and just her pace coming through the ground was unreal. It was great to see.
Oh, we can catch her when she gets going.
I suppose speaking of just quick people, Eilish O'Dowd had one of the best debut seasons I think we've seen in a long time. I think she had my favourite stat out of all of 2024 was that she had more running bounces than every other ruck in the league combined. It's just, brilliant to watch. Was that what you were expecting coming into that season?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I think the first time trial she ran for us, she won it, and then it's just explosive with speed. I think it's super exciting. Obviously, like, the way that rucks are changing, it's not your traditional rucks anymore. It's kind of like we're already at the forefront of having that, which is really exciting that essentially she's a ruck, but then her follow-up is like, you can't run with her. A mid can't run with her. Like, the wingers can't run with her. She's just so exciting, which is great. And then obviously her ability to also like change direction with her Gaelic background does really help as well. Yeah, she's a great character as well. So it's really cool when you see her do stuff like that because she just brings such energy to the group, and is a real energy giver. So that's really cool for us. But yeah, I'm pumped to see her obviously a season under her belt, a bit more footy in her hands. So kind of that will make her even better. It's super exciting.
Yeah, and it sounds like you might have another superstar coming across from Ireland in Grace Coss. Have you had a chance to meet her yet?
Yeah, she's here. Similar energy, both of them actually. So it'd be good to have like an Irish duo. Yeah, super athletic, willing to learn, wanting to learn, doing extras to make sure her kick's all good. I saw her kick in the cage for the first time when she got over, and I was actually, yeah, we learned it really quickly. Obviously has that background. But yeah, super exciting that we have that flexibility around having both of them that bring kind of this raw athletic footy now. So that's just like really hard to defend, essentially.
No, it'll be exciting footy for sure. Can't wait to see it. I feel like you're just building this arsenal of talented players that can play anywhere almost. And one player that has confused me for years where she's supposed to be playing is Tani Evans. I feel like some weeks you'll see her down forward, others down back, others sometimes in the midfield. Has she got a more settled position now, or are we going to continue to see this floating from her and other players?
I mean, Tani Evans by far one of the best players in the competition, and I am so excited for her season. I think everyone kind of knows that Tani's a good player, but I'm excited for kind of like the world to see how good Tani is as a player, settling and roll up forward, which is super exciting. I mean, like her left boot is like incredible, like 50, 60 out, just so powerful, move so well. So yeah, exciting for Tani to have her role, and yeah, I think it's gonna be pretty exciting to see what she can do. Hopefully kick 3 goals a game, I reckon.
Yeah, no, it's rare you find someone with that longer kick, but also that accurate. I feel like she's just got a real weapon there.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's a bit of a slight aside here, but last year, you got the honors of designing the Pride jumper for the Giants. And you know, we're a big fan of the AFL deciding to extend it to 2 rounds this year so that everyone gets the home game. Are you going to be taking on the job again in 2025?
This year it's actually going to be, I'm pretty pumped it'll be similar. We didn't redesign it because I think it was something that like we were all so proud of designing, like the how it came about. And also like you have to do it a year or so in prior, so it's like a long process in designing the jersey. But no, I'm going to start working with a few of the other girls for the following year, which is super exciting. But I think it was kind of something that like once I did and I saw the girls' reaction, they were like, "This is awesome, this is the best jumper." Like Burner's like, "This is my favorite jumper." So it's, I think it's really special to be able to like wear it again almost and have that kind of like feel that this is like our jersey. And just having like Peasy and Tani having been, sorry, Emily and Tani being involved in kind of the words that what it means for us, I think it's really special to have that
Yeah,
still
no,
there.
absolutely. Great to hear. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate the insights you've given us into the Giants. I just have one question left for you, which is something we like to end our interviews with. If you had to pick one player at the Giants who you think is absolutely flying at the moment and is someone we should be keeping our eye on for 2025, who do you think that would be?
I mean, we just spoke about Tani Evans, but honestly, like, I think, yeah, it's time for the W world and everyone to see how good she is, because she is by far one of the most talented players in the competition, and her work rate and her willingness to play her role for the team is something exceptional. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see Tani season. I don't like, even when I train her as a defender, I'm like, this is a hard gig today if I'm playing on her. Run circles around me, but no, I think yeah, it's super exciting. I think she's the one to watch and keep an eye on, and she lifts the whole entire group. So I think it's a great attribute that she has.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. I can't wait to see it. Well, yeah, thank you very much. It's been wonderful. I hope you have a great rest of your preseason and good luck for round one.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That was a really great chat. You could tell she was in a really good mood to just chat all things Giants. What was your key takeaway, Will?
Yeah, it was fascinating stuff as you said, and I think for me the takeaway is that basically they just want to improve. It's basically that simple. They know they've got some good young players there to really lean on, and some of those ones we'll be definitely talking about very shortly. But yeah, I think that the main takeaway for me is that they know this year's got to be a year of improvement.
Yeah, reading between the lines here as well, the thing that really pricked my ears was it doesn't necessarily sound like Chloe Dalton is coming back this season.
Yes,
That sounded like something working on for the future.
a bit disappointing that one. I think her back injury has taken its toll, so there's a big chance she might end up just being a media person in the near future, which is good for the media side of things, bad for the game because she is an exciting player. But alas, there are plenty of exciting players to be talking about at the Giants regardless.
Yep, so let's hit it off with our number one most exciting AFLW fantasy player.
Yeah, so the number one player for me is Caitlin Serhoy. First year player last year, finished the year with a PCL injury, which was a bit unfortunate, but still averaged a solid 56.6. And the reason I think Serhoy is such an interesting player is because of Nikki Barr's departure. There's a hole to be filled in that midfield. They specifically are looking for outside run. Serhoy is that player. So to me, She really presents as a great potential mid-price option if you're looking for a bit of a bargain, who could push a 56 average up above 70, which could be a very good moneymaker early on.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, in that 56 was the 21 in the game that she got injured. You take that one out, that's already a bit of a boost. And she had the second most handballs in GWS behind Nikki Barr, who is now not there. So perfect spot for her to leap into and improve this season.
Absolutely. And speaking of young talents, number two, Zali Goldsworthy. We love her here at the pod. She's an absolute superstar. And what I found super interesting was how they used her last year. She attended the most center bounces of any Giants player, yet basically just went straight from the center bounce to full forward and sat there for a lot of the time. So it meant that she only averaged 77, which for a player like Zali Goldsworthy, we know she can go up around 90. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how her role develops this year. If that role continues, maybe we might see Zali the forward as a fantasy option for us, which would be quite exciting. But I'm hoping that she stays in that middle a bit more often, a bit more around the stoppages, especially with Nikki Barr now not at the club, which could very easily see her push her average well up over 80, potentially into the 90s as well.
Yeah, I mean, Zali, amazing player and hugely fantasy relevant in the past. I think what it comes down to for me is whether she's listed as a midfielder or a forward. I mean, given that she was at 90-something percent of the CBAs last season, I think she'll be listed as a midfielder in the game, which then makes that sprint over to full forward and the plonking down there a little bit less exciting to me. But if she's listed as a forward, yeah, good upside. Yeah.
Absolutely, and it's so frustrating that that is the case, that those CBAs probably will prevent her from getting that forward status despite playing most of the game there, but yeah. I still think there's a bit of value there for Zali Goldsworthy. She's a player that there's only upside in terms of her development, so if she does have even a little bit more midfield time, I think there's a bit of value there.
Yep, and then sticking in the midfield here?
Yeah, sticking in the midfield, I've lumped 3 and 4 together because they're basically the midfield duo, the players that really drove that engine room for the Giants. That's Elise Piggy Parker and Beck Beeson, the skipper. Both of them averaged over 90 last year. Elise Parker, we know how good she is. She's always a solid ball winner. Averaged 93. I put her slightly above Beck Beeson because we know that she can push above 100. She can really get those massive scores, those 120s. But Beeson had a career year last year, finally injury-free, averaged 91.4. She'd be a really interesting, unique pick, and I think she's a player that you can probably expect more of the same. So fantasy relevant in that I reckon she's going to be good for another 90. Whether there's any upside there in terms of price, I'm not 100% sure, but still should average pretty well and therefore be an interesting option.
Yeah, I like that you've grouped them together because they are the kind of elite duo in the midfield here. But I think they serve different purposes from a fantasy perspective. Like Parker has that 93 average, but boy, that she's got a big swing on her. Like there's a lot of variation in her scoring. So I think for her, it's about picking and choosing the game. I don't know exactly what the driver is between the big game and the less game. So, you know, if someone wants to go down that path, do a bit more analysis and feed it back to us, we'd love to see it. But she's consistently scoring like 300 or 400s and a 120 each season, but then just has those big swings down to 60. So I reckon she's one if you can nail the timing for whatever reason, awesome. But Beck Beeson, I think she's a very exciting option. Her lowest score last season was by like 20 points less than her next lowest score, and that was against Hawthorn, where she didn't record a single mark and barely got her hands on a tackle. So like a very quiet game for her. But I think this is one where GWS's easier fixture might be an asset for her this year. Like if she can, I think GWS might only be playing Adelaide in the top four or so based on the fixture. So if that frees up Beeson to like have a bit more impact and actually like chase down in the midfield, then I think she could possibly bump up that average a bit. So I think out of the two, they're both good picks, but yeah, it'll just depend on the time in your squad.
And I think the thing that really excites me is the score that she got against Port Adelaide at the end of the year. She scored a massive 132. If that's the sort of scores that we're putting up, then maybe she does even go above Elise Parker. They're both really great options, and I think you can probably be fairly happy to rely on both of them. as I said, I think the upside's probably more there for Parker if she finds that consistency, but Beeson I still think's a fantastic option.
Yep, I agree.
And the final player I've picked is Taylor Levy coming over from Adelaide. I love Adelaide players coming over from other clubs, simple as that. They come from great systems, and usually they're coming over to other clubs to get a bit more opportunity, given how strong the Adelaide team is. Still fairly young in terms of football, but there's plenty of upside. Good user of the ball. Going to hopefully have a bit of an impact in that forward 50 for the Giants. I think there's a chance he could be a bit like what we were hoping Michaela Pounger would be last year, where he spends a fair bit of time forward as a forward, but also runs through that midfield. So we'd be hoping that she can play a bit through the midfield with Nikki Barr not there, and then come forward and impact with a few goals. We did see last year she kicked 3 goals against Collingwood for her highest score of the year, 71. So if we can get a bit more of that sort of scoring, that'd be really good. She's probably going to be fairly cheap, having averaged 36 last year. So definitely want to keep the eyes on in the preseason for what sort of role she has and how her scoring might develop from there.
Yeah, I agree. The move definitely breeds opportunity there for Taylor. And for my host special at the end.
Host special.
We couldn't not talk about Tani Evans after that raving review she got by Kat at the end of the interview. And, I mean, we love Tani Evans here at the pod. This feels a little bit bittersweet to say because we know how good of a football player she is. We know how amazing she is to watch. But I just don't know if that forward role, and it sounds like she's going to be mostly in that forward role, I don't know how fantasy relevant that is. I don't know how much I love that for GWS either. She might have a bit more of an opportunity for fantasy relevance this season because last season she had only, 19 and 28, two very low scores against two of the quite good teams, I think Adelaide and Freo. So, with an easier fixture, that might also benefit Tani's fantasy scoring. If GWS do lift their game this season, Ball might be in the forward half a bit more. That could also maybe boost her scoring. But yeah, I was struggling for who I was going to chuck as the host special down here. I mean, special shout out to Eilish O'Dowd, but I think it has to be Tani Evans just because you can't not watch her.
Yeah, I love Tani Evans as a player, and we've talked a bit about it at length, basically, how she's such a great kick. You want her to be the one kicking it into the forward line, not the one receiving it, but clearly they see something there, and I think it's pretty impressive that she's got the nod as a breakout player for a player who was arguably on the cusp of being in the All-Australian squad as a half-back a few years ago. So I think that having had another preseason in that role, a bit more familiarity with how to play as a forward, she still put up a few decent scores as well. Like, she scored a 75 against the Gold Coast, a 60 in that final round game against Port Adelaide, a few 50s as well. If you can get a bit more of that consistency around that 50 or 60 mark, I think there might be a bit of value there. She's not too highly priced. She only averaged just under 50. So if you could push that average up to around a 60, that's pretty good for a forward, and she definitely has the talent to do it. I don't know if the role's there, but I don't mind this as a speculative pick, especially, I mean, if she does end up at halfback again, fantastic option for our forward line.
Exactly. It's funny that what we love watching about her so much is her kicking, and her fantasy scores are correlated to that. Like, when she doesn't kick the ball at all for the whole game, her fantasy scores are down the drain. So it's like, just let her kick.
Pretty much.
Yep. Well, I think that's a pretty good wrap of GWS. Thank you, Will, for running through the top 5 fantasy-relevant players. And follow us on wherever you get your socials and wherever you get your podcasts for our next club preview coming up soon.
Beautiful. Thanks, everyone.